So far, we'll be joined by Scott here in 28 seconds as soon as the music lets up. We can't talk to him when the music's going on for some reason or other. Don't know why. It sounds to me like my microphone isn't very loud, but we'll work on that. Maybe I need to get a little... I can't get any closer. I have to lower my chair. Oh, there. Now I can. All right. Let's see if that seems to be a little bit better. I hope your weekend was good. I guess the weekend's long gone. Scott, are you there? Yep.
I am here. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
Doing okay.
I did notice that we were breaking up a little bit with the pastor in the last interview. You might think about talking to him about what type of mic or phone he's using. I don't know. I couldn't listen to a lot of it because it was breaking in and out. So... anyway, or maybe it was just my car phone.
Internet connection as well.
I'm sorry?
I say that might have been our internet connection.
Oh, yeah. It could have been that. Hey, what's going on? I haven't talked to you directly in a long time.
Well, we talked last week, didn't we? I was on for a little bit.
I guess you were. Yeah, you were on for the first 25 minutes or so, yeah. Okay, never mind.
You know, everything's okay, but I'll tell you, you know what's interesting?
What's that?
For some reason, there's a delay, and I can hear everything I'm saying. I hope that's not going over the air that way.
Well, it isn't going through my headphones that way, no.
Well, it's probably just a delay in the room I'm in, but I have heard, and I've been saying this all week long, what people have been going through with these allergies this week.
Yeah.
I mean, the weather's nice, and that's great. People are miserable.
Yeah, my wife, she's very accustomed to getting allergies, but she doesn't like it right now. She says she's struggling quite a bit. I don't know what it is either. Obviously, it's the pollen, but I don't know which pollen is out and about. But when we get James Anderson on, we'll ask him how come everybody's feeling that way. Not that he's a doctor or anything.
Well, I think it's tree pollen, and it's going to be high all the way through Saturday. And the thing about it is, it's not only causing runny noses and watery eyes and that sort of thing, but I'm hearing from people who can't breathe because of asthma, people who are trying to figure out, do I turn on the air conditioning so I can breathe a little easier? Do I take my inhaler around?
Wow.
It's an awful, awful time, and people are getting these migraine headaches. The weather like this is a terrible trigger for those, which makes those far worse than they are in the winter, I understand.
Well, I just pulled up on my phone the pollen count, and it is high right now, and I haven't seen it high in a long time. It's usually moderate or low, but right now it's in the red. So,
yeah, I think it's been high since Monday, and I think it's supposed to be that way through Saturday. And I think it's causing horrible, horrible problems for people. And I don't know that we've had we've had obviously days like this, but I don't know that we've had a stretch that is affecting people like this in a long time.
Since I know my wife is not listening this morning, I can say this. The pollen count affects me only, I am not susceptible to it very much, only in the fact that I have to put up with my wife belly aching about it.
Now what are her symptoms?
Headache, sore throat, and a little bit of a cough, and she's always stopped up when it's really bad. You know.
Now, can she take any of the drugs like Claritin or Flonase and get through it okay?
Yeah, she takes something mild usually. In our household, we avoid taking any medicine as long as we can. But she's been doing that lately. Yeah,
the thing I also understand about this is that if any house dust, which has nothing to do with the pollen, but it's where you're spending your time because you don't want to be out in the pollen, if your house dust gets kicked up because of the winds blowing or going in and out of your house, that can also cause a problem.
Well, my wife and I sit outside a lot. I've been working on my backyard, and it's kind of, well, I will say it, it's beautiful in my backyard now. But we sit outside a lot, so we don't get too involved in that. But if we, you know, if it's rainy, like last week we had some rain, it seems to be worse for her then, when we have to sit inside.
Well, I noticed with the temperatures hitting 80 degrees for the first time this week that a lot of people are turning on their air conditioning. But I also hear that's a problem because if the air conditioning hasn't been on for a while,
probably
6 or 8 months, that can cause a problem. It can dry out your sinus. It can dry out your eyes.
Plus, think of all...
There's no respite.
Think of all that dust that has accumulated over the last 6 months in those ducts and all the little buggy leftover stuff. Yeah, this is the first week after turning on your air conditioning is always kind of rough. And I guess it's recommended that you have those all cleaned out once a year. We don't do it, and I don't think most people do. I think it's recommended.
So what do you do? What's the answer?
There is no answer. You what you do is you bite your lower lip and put up with it. Get some chutzpah or whatever. And don't complain about it. There's nothing you can do about it. That's what I tell my wife.
Well.
And then I get up off the floor.
You don't want to do that.
No, you don't really want to do that. Hey, did I see you were looking for some young men to lift stuff out your way or move stuff around?
No, I needed somebody to mow the...
Oh, mow. Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah. Did you get somebody?
Yeah. I did. They came yesterday and it all turned out good.
Excellent. I'd like to do that occasionally. I don't want to have somebody always mowing my yard, and I don't really, that's how I get my exercise. But every once in a while, like when we go to California, it'd be nice to have my yard mowed once, and we did, and it worked out well.
So what did you take away from what you could hear from the pastor's interview?
Actually, it was bad enough that I turned it off. I hate to say that, Scott, but I did.
That's no problem.
I thought it was my car. You know, my car radio sometimes isn't real sharp, and so I just turned it off because it was that annoying to me. So I can't honestly say it.
I tell you, I get maybe the weather is also affecting the internet connection.
Yeah, maybe so. Yeah, maybe. It could, I imagine, because, it's all has to do with atmospherics, and that stuff goes through the air, I guess.
It doesn't like humidity as either.
Yeah, it sure doesn't, I don't think. Hey, I want to know, who flies our helicopter?
Well, sometimes I do. Sometimes we get a pilot.
Okay, well, the reason why I asked is, well, I heard our spot about look up and see the helicopter, the WWGH helicopter. And this morning, they had a guy on I can't remember what channel I was watching, but they had a guy on talking about, I think it was, it doesn't make any difference. He was talking about bringing a guy down who was in an airplane whose pilot passed out, and he had never flown an airplane in his life. And they actually showed him landing the airplane, and it was the smoothest landing I've ever seen. And everything worked out great. How terrifying would that be, though, to have your pilot pass out and then have to ask somebody to help you get to the ground? I'm surprised they didn't ditch him in the water. But
do you call somebody?
That's what he did. He called the tower. Yeah, he called the tower, and they went and got a gentleman who had, he was a traffic controller, but he had been an instructor, a flight instructor. So he was able to get it down to the simplest terms and talk this gentleman all the way down. I think he was at 15,000 feet or something like that, and he talked him all the way down to the ground without even the slightest incident. I don't even think he burned much rubber off the tires when he landed. It was phenomenal.
That's a happy story.
Oh, it was a great story. I applauded after the story was over. Nobody heard it except for my dog and my wife, but I did applaud.
Well, you know, I wonder if this connection problem was your radio. I wonder if anybody heard the interview who was listening this morning, or the Jim Renacci interview, which was on at 8 o'clock. Give people the number there. See if we have any input on the interviews this morning.
Yeah, hey, if you can call us in, it would really help us out to know about that so that we can adjust our equipment. 740-383-9944. Let me give that to you one more time. Run, get your pencil. Hurry up. Hurry up. I haven't got all day. All right. Now you're back. 740-383-9944. Maybe we can get some help from our listeners.
Yeah, well, I hope they heard it, because that's a harrowing tale. I mean, he was able to find his daughter, 27 years old. She's in Russian protection now, but it looks like she'll be coming this way back to Ohio as soon as they get it all figured out.
What does that mean, Russian protection?
Well, that she's been, I don't want to say captured, because I think that's the wrong term, but that the Russians have her at this point, along with a lot of the other refugees, and they don't release them until they want to do it,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of a... I wish I had heard it, because that I've been listening to that ballerina who has been put in jail in Russia. Well, there are all sorts of people who are seemingly innocent of anything except for having to be Americans in the wrong place at the wrong time, or Ukrainians in the wrong place at the wrong time.
There's a dictatorship.
Yeah, that is absolutely a dictatorship with a capital D. Actually, the whole first part of that word is capitalized. Never mind.
So no phone calls yet.
No phone calls yet. We just got. Was that you that made that funny noise on the line?
I don't think so.
Oh, there was a noise of a nice chime, like it was calling me home. I'm still breathing, so I guess it wasn't calling me home yet.
Well, we never know how much longer with the weather like this that people are going to be breathing.
Yeah, that's true. Now, you knew I was supposed to go to procedure, or at least the other day. I got to tell you about this. You get all excited. Well, not excited. You get all nervous about going to a procedure where they're going to take skin out of you, poke you with needles and cut off some skin, and you get excited, and then they tell you to do some procedures prior to that, and you do them all, and I was ready to go, and I walked out the door, pulled up in front of what used to be Smith Clinic, I don't know what they call it now, but pulled up in front and got a phone call, and the lady said, "Have you done the procedures?" And I said, "Yeah, they're all done. I'm outside the door." And she said, "Well, we can't make it."
Oh, they're coming in from out of town?
What's that?
The people to do the procedure?
I think the lady is the doctor is from Columbus, yes, and apparently couldn't make it. And so we set a new appointment. I'm all excited because we got a new appointment a week later. They called me back in less than an hour to tell me that they were going to have to cancel that. But they could schedule me in June, at the end of June.
So a month later.
Yeah. So I said, well, I guess I'm not going to die of this, right? And the lady chuckled and we moved on.
Sorry, we hope, you know, it's now, are you nervous about it or apprehensive now that you have to wait another month?
Well, I have to get naked in front of ladies, and that always bothers me.
Now, how do you know it's not men?
Well, it might be part and part, but I know the head of, doctor is a female, so, and she seems like a very nice lady. She's only like 35 or something like that.
Now, did she say why she couldn't make it?
She didn't make it into the office, so she couldn't talk to me. They just told me that she couldn't make it in, so I was out of luck for that day.
So no reason given.
Nope. So therefore, I assume what I'm going in for is not earth-shattering. I hope.
Well, you know, I don't know, because what I've learned is that if the doctor's not going to be there, and that's the only doctor you have.
Yeah, she's the only one that does this sort of thing. So.
Well, yeah. Well, here, what I learned during COVID was I ran into a doctor here in Marion, and I said, you know, a lot of people have to be going to pulmonologists, I would imagine. And she said, yes. And I said, well, how many do we have here in town?
None, I bet.
Well, no, I think she said two.
Oh, okay. That's surprising.
I think she said two. At that time, I don't know what it is now. And I said, well, how long does it take to get in to see a pulmonologist? And she said, about 4 months.
Gosh.
So, you know, I think those situations were serious, but if that's the only doctor and...
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Can you imagine living in Wyoming or Montana where there's one doctor every 4,000 square miles or maybe even wider than that? I just can't imagine living without... at least the knowledge that they're around. Now, I live for, I did not go to a doctor between the time of when I was in college and I had to go have a physical for my football and when I had my heart attack about 10 years ago. So I lived for about 50-some years without even talking to a doctor, except for the three that are in my family, but I didn't consult them about stuff, so...
Now, is this a good thing, in your opinion?
That I didn't talk to a doctor? Well,
yeah.
I tell you what, ignorance sometimes is bliss. And even this procedure that I'm going to go in for in June, or the end of June, I think, or maybe the end of July, I'd have to look at my calendar. Anyway, the procedure that I'm going into, because I don't know what's going on, I'm not real worried. But,
well, worry, I don't think, does you any good.
No,
because
it
doesn't. You can't change the outcome anyway.
Right.
But
yeah.
What I think more about is, you know, we as Americans are kind of funny. We put things off that if we would deal with them earlier,
mm-hmm.
early detection or just changing lifestyle earlier, we would not have to wait until the emergency squad is called.
Yeah.
Or so on and so forth. So I don't know which is the best way to go.
I agree with you totally. I was just absolutely lucky to live for 50-some years without seeing a doctor, with no problems at all. Grandmother and my father both died of stroke-related things, and I had a heart attack. I guess that's related. And maybe if I had really been a little bit more conscientious about going and talking to a doctor about that sort of thing, maybe I would never have had the heart attack. But I don't know. I've been eating a lot better ever since I had it, so maybe it changed my ways.
Well, I'm sure things were building up in that time,
yeah.
Or you would not have had the heart attack.
Right, yeah. Now, I was down to like 98% blockage, and I'm glad I still had 2% open.
So now, what did a heart attack feel like for those who haven't had them?
Yeah, you know, that's kind of strange. I've had a lot of people ask me that. I had, obviously, a very mild heart attack. I walked into the emergency room and said, my chest feels kind of funny. And about 20 seconds later, I was laying flat on a gurney and they were taking me into the... but it felt like it was in the spring, I think it was, but it wasn't cold out because I walked a long way in the parking lot to the emergency room and without a coat on, so it wasn't cold. But it felt like I was... Have you ever gone out in zero temperature and taken a deep breath and you get that stingy in the lungs?
Yeah.
That's kind of what it felt like. Up in my upper chest, it felt like it was stinging like that.
Now, did it continue like that or was it just one waft?
Actually, it went on all morning. And I thought, well, this isn't right. And that's why I decided to go over. I wasn't that far from the hospital, so I drove over and then walked in. Just to find out what was going on. And the next thing I know, they're pumping me with medicine and taking my clothes off. I used to like that when I was a kid. I didn't like it as I get older.
No, it wasn't so much fun.
No, it wasn't. Now,
did they find it with an EKG or what did they have to do?
Yeah, they did that. And then they went in and put dye in my arteries to see if there was any blockage, and they found the one that had very little flow, and that's the one that they put a stent into to open it up, and I've been pretty good since then.
Now, how long was it from the time that they gave you the EKG, which I'm sure they did when you went right into the ER,
yeah,
to the time that they got the dye in you?
Well, after they tried to kill me by giving me one medicine too many,
and that sounds like fun.
Yeah, I don't blame them, but they gave me nitroglycerin, and one nurse gave me two tablets of it, and I took them, and the next nurse came in and gave me two more, not knowing the previous had, and apparently my blood pressure just dropped like a stone, but we got that taken care of. That was no problem. My wife was there, and she told somebody that I didn't look very good, but I never have looked very good. But I'd say it was less than an hour between when they got me in the emergency room to the time that they were sticking a dye in my arteries. Yeah, it was very quick.
So they were moving fast.
Yeah, I was in and out in 2 days with the heart attack.
So now how long between the dye and the procedure?
I think they did it all at the same time. Yeah, they did.
Oh, really? So it was all in within hours. You were good to go.
I was good. I wasn't quite good to go, but I was. They kept me overnight in the hospital and watched me and made sure that certain. They can tell. It's amazing. They can tell whether your heart's doing something by the chemistry in your body, and so they watched the chemistry in my body, and when it went to the the good level, then they let me go home. It might have been a day and a half that I was in the hospital. So,
now, did you learn anything from this experience?
Yeah, don't get sick because then all your friends come over and bug you.
Well, a heart attack, I mean, it sounds big.
It was not big. It truly wasn't a big thing for me. I could have easily just passed it off and maybe died later that day, but because I was stupid enough to think that something was wrong, I actually may have saved my life by getting over there quicker.
But, so no shortness of breath or pain in the arms or
no,
anything like that?
Uh-uh. Nothing like
that's
that.
That's good.
Yeah. I'm glad that I got through it. Now, I did have to go through rehab for about, I don't know, 2 months, something like that. But I have always been fairly active. You know, I walk every day, but I also had been an college and high school athlete, so I was in decent shape. Fat. I was fat, but my cardiovascular stuff was in pretty decent shape, apparently. Now, they did tell me at the time that I had a couple other arteries that were about 50% blocked. And I said, well, what are we going to do about them? Oh, they'll be fine. Okay.
You know, you hear that a lot from people where they go, well, we noticed that there's some blockage, but we don't need to do anything about that. So how blocked can your arteries be without them doing something?
Well, and it's kind of neat because the doctor told me that your body sees that it's being blocked in certain places, and it starts sending little baby arteries around that place. So I think you can go pretty long. I'm hoping I haven't gone too long. I keep thinking to myself, maybe I ought to check myself in and have them check my arteries again. But it wasn't that comfortable. I mean, it wasn't uncomfortable. It's kind of neat. They ask you, on a scale of 1 to 5, what's the pain level? And while they were getting ready to do this, and I said, well, it's fine. I'm okay. And then all of a sudden, it's 4! Because they had actually stopped my heart for a second because they were injecting dye into my arteries. And
I would think stopping the heart would get your attention.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, almost got too much attention. But I'm forever thankful that I was just that lucky. And I admit, I was just plain lucky.
That's all you need sometimes is a good bit of luck.
Yeah, and the doctors always tell you, if you feel something unusual, don't cover it up. Go talk to somebody about it. And I must admit, I am terrible about that, even after the fact. I have a pain down my back that every once in a while comes and goes. And I've had it since I was, 15 years old. So I know what that pain is. But I probably ought to go in and have myself checked, because pains in your shoulders and back sometimes indicate bad stuff going on. But, I guess I'd rather die than go into the hospital.
Yeah, but now here's the other thing.
Yeah.
Now let's say, especially with like allergies and things, which in most cases are not life and death.
Most
but
cases.
But let's say that you are having trouble breathing, maybe because of asthma, or you are just not feeling well because of the weather outside and it's gotten to your passages, air passages. Now, you can work yourself up into an anxiety attack over that.
Absolutely.
Because you don't think it's allergies. You think you're having a heart attack. You think your lungs are collapsing or so on and so forth.
Yep.
And I think that's what happens a lot of time, because people are usually in and out of the emergency room fairly quick.
Yeah, and I think both ways can happen on that. You may talk yourself into having something you don't have, or you may ignore something that you probably ought to take care advantage of. Now, we just got a message 2 days ago that both my son and my daughter-in-law, and she's a nurse at OSU down in Columbus, they both have COVID.
Oh.
And we were with them a week or so ago. So immediately I'm starting to think, oh my gosh, am I short of breath? Well, I have had a cough lately. And I started convincing myself that I was sick. Now, my wife is terrible at that. She is a hypochondriac. If she sniffles, she thinks something is bad going on. But apparently we're okay. We did a test and we're okay.
You know, I recently learned of something. It's a boomerang syndrome, but it's people who are not usually in the hospital and they get admitted for something, and it's not huge, but maybe they're there a couple days and they're ready to go home. They want to go home because it's not fun to be in the hospital.
Right.
But once they get home, they start having the symptom again because they're anxious.
Yep.
Somehow the hospital gives them some peace of mind.
Yeah, I think that's probably true in a lot of cases. Like I told you, I have 3 members of my family, all since have deceased, but I had 3 doctors in my family, and they did not talk about stuff. And I once asked David, my brother-in-law, why don't you talk about some of those things? And he said, because I'm afraid I will make other people sick because they'll start thinking they have the problem. And so he kept it to himself. He, and not only that, but they have an oath that they have to. They couldn't say Mary Jane has scarlet fever, but they could say, well, we had a patient that had scarlet fever and this was her problem. And he was afraid if he said things like that, other people would get symptomatic illness from just hearing about it.
I'll tell you, there is a lot of anxiety I've noticed in the emergency rooms when I've been there to visit people, that if somebody does diagnose you with something even mild, the second you go home, you know that safety net is gone.
Yeah.
And I think it does cause a lot of anxiety.
Yeah, and it causes anxiety around you as well. You and I are both going through, you know, some procedure stuff, which is, we don't think it's terrible, but people around us think it's horrible. Don't you find that true?
I do, but you know what? I still don't get that to a certain degree. Now, if I were in bad shape, I could see why people would think that, but I'm not.
Yeah.
And I think people could tell that by now. I mean, it's a very strange thing. I think I said this on the air when I had my diagnosis. One of the doctors I went to, because I did get a second opinion, I told the doctor, I said, you know, everybody I tell this to, the response is just awful. I don't understand it, because it doesn't seem that awful to me. And the doctor told me, he said, stop telling people.
Yeah.
Because he said they don't understand that there are different variations, different things, and certain words have bad connotations. And, you know, since then, that's why I've tried to be very low-key about it. Now, I want to thank people when they do nice stuff for me, so I'll do that, and I'll tell people when I'm not going to be on the air.
Yeah.
But as far as talking about it directly, that's one of the reasons I don't do it, is because after talking to that doctor, I think he was exactly right.
Well, after I had that heart attack, for the first probably 5 years after I had the heart attack, people would come up to me and say, how are you feeling? You know, they're all concerned about. I never felt bad except for when they stuck the catheter in my arteries to put the dye in there. That was the only time I really ever felt bad. And I wish, you know, if a person tells you I'm feeling okay, assume that they're feeling okay. I know there are people like my mother who told me that she was feeling fine one day, and she died within about 3 weeks of that. We won't go into that, but you know,
that can happen.
Yeah, well, and also she was from New England. She was one of those stoic Yankees that wouldn't tell you if she was feeling bad. But
well, I'll tell you what's funny. Like today. Now today has nothing to do with any illness, I don't think, but last night, it was kind of warm in my house, like 78 degrees or something like that. And I usually keep it around 72 in here with the heat. But, you know, the heat's gone up this week.
Yep.
And by the time last evening came, it was like 78. So I thought, well, I'll turn on the air conditioner because I don't want to open up the windows because I hear about all this pollen. And even though I'm not allergic to anything that I'm aware of, I don't want to sleep in like a nasty pollenous state until this pollen level goes down.
Yeah.
So I turned on the air conditioner last night and just set it on 72, normally what the heat would be on, and it kicked on for the first time. But now I feel dried out. I don't feel stopped up at all. But all morning, since I've been doing the show since 7:45 this morning, my mouth is dry and I'm continuously drinking things, and you know, I just feel dried out. And I wonder if it has to do with the air conditioning or if it does have to do with the allergies.
Oh, I bet it absolutely has to do with the air conditioning. I'm not susceptible to that sort of thing, but my wife hates to turn the air conditioning on because she dries out so badly. So yeah, I bet it's that. More than
well, I'll tell you what's funny about the whole thing. I got up this morning, and I had to take a little medication this morning, and I don't take it on an empty stomach, so I normally have a bagel.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had the normal bagel this morning, and for some reason, I don't know if it's because I've been sitting all morning longer than I normally do, or because of the air conditioning and the drying out of the throat and the mouth and all this. But it's felt like I've got a piece of bagel stuck back in my... Yeah, that's what it feels like. Now, I don't know if that's a bagel or not, or if that's just me being dried out. But I did shut the air conditioning off, but of course the heat's not going to kick on because it's not below 72.
Yep.
And I don't want to open up the window, so what do you do in this predicament?
You go out and talk to those geese that are across the street. They'll tell you what to do.
Well, see, but is that good? I don't know. This is why I think the allergy season is very strange. What is the right answer? Do you go sit in your car in the air conditioner? Do you go outside where the pollen is?
Well,
do you stay inside where it's dried out?
You've interviewed lots of doctors. You ought to call one of your doctor friends and ask them. That would be a good interview.
I'm going to have to because it's so weird to me that this has happened now, and there's going to be no relief until the weekend, and it's not going to be much relief this weekend, so I don't know if I should keep running the air conditioner to get it cleared out and get me used to it so I'm not dried out, or if I should leave it off and just let the temperatures go. Does anybody have any advice on this? Is there anybody out there? 740-383-9944.
Yeah, give us a holler. And now, do you suppose any of this dryness and stuff like that has anything to do with the global warming that we're getting?
You know, I don't know. All I know is I have never seen a group of days like this together where a guest had to cancel the other morning. He said, my eyes are puffy, my nose is running, and I can't breathe.
Huh.
And I have known somebody this week who's had an excruciating headache every day. The longer the day goes on, the more the headache comes, and they're taking their migraine medication and all kinds of stuff, but it's awful.
Well, you know, that's kind of interesting because my son and daughter-in-law both said they thought maybe they were just getting migraines when they got COVID because they had headache and they were all dried out. And now I'm going to get all those people that are get symptomatic symptoms from listening to things like this. But those were the two things, the headache and the dryness. And then the cough were the three things that alerted them. And my daughter-in-law, Christine, is a nurse, as I said, so she was alert to maybe they ought to check and get a COVID test. And
are you trying to tell me I have COVID?
Yeah, I think you have COVID.
Trying to tell me?
Yeah, I think that's it.
I don't need this kind of stuff right now. I don't need the COVID.
You know, it's interesting how mild the new vein or the new version of COVID is, that all these people are getting it, but nobody's getting really badly sick that I can tell. Colbert had it, who else is... There have been a lot of famous people. Well, a lot of famous people.
Well, I didn't get it. Yeah. As far as I know.
Okay, all right. Well, just take care of yourself and do the best you can. But don't ignore warning signs. That's the key thing that I learned from my heart attack. If you have warning signs, don't ignore them. Now, I do ignore them, but I shouldn't.
Now, I have those home tests, so yeah. I don't know. I've never done one, but...
They're real easy. They really are.
Well, I might do one later on. Although, I can't imagine that I would have it, because to be honest with you, the last time I was around anybody would have been... Well, I did see... Somebody did stop by yesterday who I had not seen... Wow, probably face-to-face, probably had not seen them since late February.
Well, you wouldn't get it that fast anyway. I think it takes at least three days to incubate, so...
Well, then I might be good then.
I think you're probably pretty good, yeah. Now, if you do start getting a dry cough and you do have a headache and you feel like you got a mild case of flu, then you might think about it. But
well, yeah, I would. I don't fool around with that stuff.
I'm sure
especially
you don't.
At this point.
Yeah.
Because I don't. Who needs a compound?
Yeah. Yeah. What type of compound are you talking about? Something that you take internally?
It would be a big compound at this point. I don't need that type of compound. You know, it's interesting. The person who came over yesterday dropped off some cards, and I didn't get a chance to talk about them. I'll talk about them tomorrow morning.
Okay.
But they sent me some very nice cards and some little cutouts of cartoons from the paper. And they're very funny, and some people write very nice notes, which are, I'm not going to read the notes on the air, but, you know, I really do appreciate all that stuff, and I say it all the time, but, you know, there are a lot of people who really don't, I don't want to say they don't, I haven't figured out how to put it. It's not that they don't care. I know that they care, but it's a little disingenuous. You know what I mean? I've always said insincerity is the thing that I dislike the most. When somebody asks you how you are just to, like, do a social norm. How you doing?
Well, we all do that, I think. Don't we?
Well, we do, but, I mean, when somebody buys a card for you nowadays, writes a note, mails it to you.
That's important.
Or somebody calls you on the phone who normally does not call you on the phone, or sends you a message, or says particularly nice things that they don't normally say. That's, you know, that's sincerity. But if it's just the, you know, like checking in with you.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting. Ever since I've met you, you and I have become, I think, we can call each other friends. And
well, it depends on which day.
Yeah, that's true. But ever since I've met you, I have been more interested in why I am so different than you are. And I am very different. But the more I figure it out, the more I think about it, I am different than a lot of people because I had a mother who was this stoic woman who never admitted that she hurt. She never admitted she had a bone, prosthetic knee that was actually had broken free and was sticking out of her flesh when she eventually passed away from it. But she walked on it. I mean, that's the type of mother I had.
Yeah, but you know, now this is interesting because I think you have, you're far more emotional than I am. And I think
I'm very emotional. Yeah. Yeah, I am.
You've even said at points that I have no emotion. That I'm.
Well, I never said it that way.
You've known me. You've never seen me yell.
No, I haven't.
You've never seen me, you know.
I'm just telling you the truth.
Yeah, and I don't know really why that is. That even during this particular situation right now, maybe that's why it doesn't register in my brain, and it really doesn't all the time, because I'm just not an emotional person. I don't know. It doesn't seem all that bad to me.
No, and that's one of the things you know, even old dogs can learn new tricks. And one of the things I've learned from you is that we can all be completely different, and you and I are pretty completely different, and still like each other. And I think we've got to learn lessons like that, especially in the United States the way we are right now.
Well, here's the thing about it. I think you, by and large, most people cry at funerals. Most people get angry and yell from time to time. Most people have strong feelings, and I think that's typically how you react, so I think you would fall in the norm. I think people look at me and that I don't get overly dramatic, and dramatic's a bad word because I'm not saying people are dramatic, overly overcome with emotions, that people find that strange. And I have said that there are friendships that I have been in over the years where I think people think that I don't care because I'm not overly emotional.
Now, it's kind of interesting that you think I would cry at funerals. I never cry at funerals.
Well, that's good.
The only funeral I've ever cried at, I believe, was my brother's. And the only reason why I cried at it is the minister made me read a story that I wrote about John's passing. He made me read this. I it was pretty well written, I must admit that, but he made me read it at his funeral, and I don't think I would have cried had he not made me read that.
Well, I guess what I've never been to a funeral with you. I guess what I was basing it on is I know when people have died, I've seen you get emotional.
A little, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe.
So, you know, I guess that is, but see, on the flip side, when people have died and I have not gotten emotional, people sometimes say, well, you must not have cared. Well, that's not it. It's just, I don't know. It's a mechanism, I guess, that clicks in your brain.
Well, you know, probably some really shrewd psychiatrist could take you back to your problems in your birth canal when you were being born that caused that. You know, you never know what it came from. It just, you have to like yourself for who you are, and you have to like other people for who they are. So,
well, right now, if I could just get this taste of this bagel out of my throat, and I could have some moisture in my mouth, even though I'm drinking like crazy, I would be a happy person.
A shot of single malt whiskey will do it for you.
Well, I'll nap all afternoon after that. Yeah,
I would too, and I hate whiskey. Oh well.
I don't know. It's just an interesting thing, and it's the human. When I was in college, I always took psychology and sociology classes as electives.
Yeah.
So I'm endlessly fascinated by the human species and how they act, and so I don't know. That's why it's always fascinating to me.
We are an unusual breed, but in fact, if people realize that we are nothing more than smart animals, death is part of life. You can't take it terribly seriously. Of course, you're going to miss that person. But
I wrote something because, you know, you have a tendency to. I have a little bit of free time on my hand right now.
Yeah, I bet.
And it all comes back to this. We have about a minute left here before break, but essentially what it is, I said, you know, since I started this little path that I'm on, which will be over soon enough, the football player from Ohio State in his 20s was killed on the highway.
Yeah.
Naomi Judd committed suicide.
Yep.
The young girl here in town was shot in her yard by her husband, and then he committed suicide. And something else happened that was very unexpected to a young person. I can't remember what it was. But I said, you know, all these things have happened since I left coming into the radio station. And none of those people spent time worrying about death. So why would I? Here comes the break.
All righty.
You're listening to WWDH Radio 107.1 FM. Listen for guests like legendary comedian Shecky Green.
No, well, you also did the Ed Sullivan Show.
Oh, my God. Have you got 2 hours?
Oh, go ahead, please.
Right here in our show, it's a young comic from Las Vegas. Chucky. What is that fat kid's name? Let me tell you something. I have stories that someday you'll call me, and I'll tell you the things that happened with Sullivan and I on the air.
Oh, really?
I did a routine about a coal miner disaster, and at the same time I did it, there was a coal mine disaster in Nova Scotia. He claimed that I did it just to have that routine. I take a note to my mother. Oh. If you ever talk to me again, well, you were going to talk to me again, and we'll talk about that because it's so interesting.
You know, maybe we'll do a whole show on Ed Sullivan sometime. That'd be fun.
Yeah, you get the people and have all the people talk about what happened and how he says, now I want to know something right now. He said to the elephant, what are you going to do on my show? Said to the elephant. And then the elephant made a plot. You know,